Matthew chapter number 8. As we shared with you this morning, the Lord began to speak to us out of this passage in our devotion this week, and it just got real to me, and the Lord just seemed to speak to our heart about preaching out of it this morning, and amen. You ought to be able to, as I mentioned this morning, you ought to be able to, at least at times, to testify at least out of your devotions. I'm serious about that. Very few testimonies in service in a year's time comes out of your devotion. Amen. And you ought to be able to say what the Lord's doing, what the Lord has said. Express the realness of God in your life. God is a God to be experienced. Amen. And we need to pass that information on to people. What God has done in your life and His faithfulness. But anyway, Matthew chapter number 8, I feel like the Lord had me to read these verses again. We'll start in verse 1 and read through verse 13. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Boy, I like that. The leper come and said, if thou wilt. But the Lord just come in right on the tail of that and said, I will. Amen. The Lord knows how to do away with that if. Don't worry about it. Don't put an if on it. I will. Amen. I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Well, let's read verse 3 again. I will read it. I don't want to miss any of it, leave any of it out. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou, tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded, and the whole purpose for that is this, for a testimony unto them. See, God is after that. God does not want to do a work in your life, or as I'm preaching, He's not wanting to help you, and that remains silent and quiet. He wants it to become a testimony. What would happen in our churches if, when God helps us, we'd tell it? Amen. Amen. He said, for a testimony to them. And then in verse 5, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said unto them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Verse 13, Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I'm preaching on the subject, getting help from God. That is the thing, that is the theme that these two separate stories have in common. The leper got help from God. The centurion got help from God. But how they differ is, the leper got help for himself, and the centurion got help from another. And so I want to preach this evening on getting help from God. Number one, for ourselves, and number two, for others. Getting help for others. Now, without going back and re-preaching some that we mentioned this morning, I do want to say that there is a proper order laid out in the Holy Scripture. I believe that God placed the story of the leper before the story of the centurion to teach us a principle, to show us a proper order. What is that order? We preached about it this morning. The proper order is you've got to get help for yourself before you can help others. You cannot be the centurion that will get help from God on behalf of others or for others until you are like the leper who have personally went to God and gotten help for yourself. Amen. Many, as I mentioned this morning, I recognize that there are needs in other people's lives, needs that only God can help, but they can't help them because they need help themselves. Amen. So getting help tonight. Do you need any help tonight? There'll never be a day in your life that you don't need some help. And I'm glad to report that God is our helper. I'm glad what Hebrews 13 tells us in verse 6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. And I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, the devil will try to tell you, God don't care about you. God don't care about you. God is not going to help you. God is not going to help you. But that's contrary to what the Bible teaches. God is our helper. Amen. I like Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm glad the Bible tells me in this day of perplexity that our God helps us. Amen. And I do want to say, I believe it's worth repeating, that the help that comes from God is not connected to the economy. The help that comes from God is not being weighed in the balance Tuesday. Amen. I tell you, I think we ought to vote. Amen. I think we ought to vote American. Amen. That's right. And all of that. But irregardless of the outcome on Tuesday, that doesn't change the Bible. That does not change God. Amen. If the one gets it that we don't want to get it, amen. Amen. God's not going to say, well, there it goes. There it went. My hands are tied now. I can't do anything. The Muslim's in control now. I can't do anything. He's not that way. No, God is in control. He's the sovereign God. He don't ask anybody if he can do something. He's in charge. He was before there was anything. He is above everything. He's in control of everything. And He's on our side. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God for the help that we have in the Lord. Hallelujah. Woo! I like it, don't you? Well, I can face tomorrow with that. I can face the uncertainties of tomorrow with that. Thank God. My confidence is not in the Democrats or Republicans. My confidence is not even in the Baptists. Amen. My confidence is in the Lord. Amen. Brother Aaron, the Lord, the Bible said it was the Lord that would be my helper. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I want to get off of that. And I want to look at the first one. I want to look at the leper in verses 1 through 4, and I want to talk about getting help from God for yourself. Getting help from God ourselves. Amen. There's times, and I don't want to go back and re-preach that. I'd like to. It's so good this morning. I will squeeze some more juice out of that. But I want to tell you, friend, there's times when you need to realize, I can't help others. I can't help others. I need help. I need to steal away. I need to get in the closet. I need to get in the Bible. I need to hear preaching. I need God to help me. And then when I get help, then I can turn around and help somebody else. Amen? I want to talk about getting help from God for ourselves. Now what's involved in that? What is involved in getting help from God? The first thing I'd like to share with you, I believe, is found in verse number 1. First of all, there's got to be the attraction of the Lord. There's got to be the attraction of the Lord. Look at verse number 1. The Bible said, but when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. Now what does that tell you? That tells me that there was an attraction there. That tells me that there was a drawing to Christ. Amen? Amen. I like it, don't you? You'll never get help personally until you're attracted to Him. Until there's a drawing in His direction. Until He's got your attention. Amen. Amen. I know that's simple. I know that's simple, but you think about the times that you're out of sorts with Him. I mean, you're crossways with Him. You're not right with Him. I tell you, He's not attracted to you. He's not attracted to you. You're not drawn to Him. In fact, you're kind of running from Him, as it were. Amen. You're kind of going in the wrong direction. Amen. But if I'm going to get some help, I've got to be attracted to the Lord. Amen. Well, you say, preacher, what attracted him to the Lord? Well, I say, I believe, first of all, I believe it was the Word of Christ. Amen. Now, you don't have to turn back. But before Jesus had went up on the mount, there where the Sermon on the Mount was delivered in chapter 5, if you'll notice there, the Bible said, and seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. Now look, if you will, in the latter part of chapter 7, at the very close of the Sermon on the Mount, and look in verse 28, and it came to pass that when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at His doctrine. For He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now you know what I personally think that's telling me? That's telling me that this leper and this crowd heard what Jesus had preached and taught on the Sermon on the Mount. And having heard His Word, they were attracted to it. Well, if there's anything ought to attract you to the Lord, it ought to be His Word. Amen. Because you see, you can't separate the Word of the Lord from the Lord of the Word. They're inseparable. Amen. In fact, your relationship to this book is, in fact, your relationship to God. Amen. You can't throw the Bible aside and look at it every once in a while and then have an intimacy with the Lord. It just don't work that way. If you're close to the Bible, you're close to Christ. If you're intimate with the Bible and the Bible's intimate with you, then that's your relationship with the Lord as well. Amen. I think He was attracted to the Word of Christ. Amen. Never a man spake like this. They are astonished at His doctrine. Man, did you hear that? Wow, what teaching. What preaching. What sympathy. What compassion. Amen. What truth. And what a difference to the Old Testament economy. I believe He's attracted to His Word. And then I believe He was attracted to His way. What do you mean His way? Verse number 1, the Bible said in verse chapter 8, verse 1, and when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. What do you mean His way? I'm talking about Him willing to condescend. Him willing to come down to where the people are and walk among them. Now we know that He didn't just do that here on the mountain. Thank God He did that in His incarnation. He came out of the glory world as God and being manifest in the flesh. Thank God and was incarnate in human form. What condescension. The leper probably was attracted to Him because of the way of the Lord. That is, he saw the Lord willing to come to where he was. Willing to come down off the mountain. Amen. Willing to come off from that elevation and come down in humiliation and come down where the people was. And that attracted him. And then I believe it was the will of Christ that attracted him. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And the Lord said, I will. Boy, if anything ought to attract us to the Lord is that we know the Lord's already told us in His Word, I will. Well, I don't know if the Lord has saved me. Don't worry, God doesn't answer that. God doesn't say it in the Word, I will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the Lord saying, I will. But I'm a leper, I'm a drunk, I'm a dopehead, I'm a this, I'm a that. It don't matter. Amen. Jesus said, I will. Amen. I believe there must be, if I'm going to get the help from the Lord that I need personally and for myself, I need to be attracted to Him. Amen. Are you attracted to Him tonight? Amen. Now what's this? I believe this is another thing that would lead us to getting some help from the Lord. Not only the attraction of the Lord, but I believe secondly, the approach unto the Lord. Don't ever expect to get some help from God if you're not willing to go to Him. Amen? The Bible said in verse number 2, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him. Now I know that's simple. That's simple. How many people do not get help from God because they will not go to Him. They will not, my friend, pursue Him. They will not make advances toward Him. They will not make an effort to close the gap. They'll not make efforts to close the distance, as this leper did. The leper, my friend, was willing to approach Him. And let me just say this. I'm glad our Savior is approachable. Amen. I'm glad that He is approachable. I'm glad He lets people, even lepers, approach unto Him. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Thank God. I like that. Amen. Let me just deal with this quickly about that approach unto the Lord. I've done that simply. If we're going to get some help, we just got to get to Jesus. I mean, that's it. Bottom line. If I'm going to get help, I just got to get to the Lord. That's simple, isn't it? You won't get to the Lord without getting help. If you get to Him, He'll help you. Amen. That's right. Amen. The devil don't want you to do that. I promise you. But here's some things I want to share with you. Just a couple of things. I want to look at the motivations for His approach. And then I'd like to just comment a little on the manner of His approach. What do you mean the motivation of His approach? What was it that motivated Him to go to the Lord? To approach the Lord? Amen. To pursue the Lord. I believe first of all was His dissatisfaction. You'll never get help from God as long as you're satisfied with your condition. As long as you're satisfied with being a leper, as long as you're satisfied, my friend, in your condition, your coldness, your carnality, your complacency, as long as you're content with that, my friend, you'll never get some help. But when you get sick of being sick, when you get tired of being tired, my friend, and you get aggravated at your coldness and your inability to get hooked up with God and go to church and it's dead and dry and dull and you get sick of it, brother, I guess what? Business is fixing to pick up. If we could just get God's people to be dissatisfied with their condition. I'm not talking about if you're close to God and full of the Spirit and walking with God. I'm not talking about getting satisfied with that. I'm talking about when we're needing help. That's what I'm preaching about. Getting help from God. When will we get help from God? It's when we are motivated to approach Him, to seek Him, to go to Him, to advance to Him. When will that happen? When we get dissatisfied. I'm going to tell you, friend, I don't have to ask you if it happens. I know. I know from experience. When you get out of sorts with God, your heart is full of dissatisfaction.
And let me just let you in on a little something else I've known and learned, but from experience. When you get where you're not right with God, and by the way, it's real easy to get that way. It's real easy for you to get out of sorts with God, to get crossways with God. Real easy. Let me tell you, not only does dissatisfaction come in, but I tell you what also happens when that dissatisfaction comes in. The devil will slip in and says, here, to satisfy you, all you need is these friends. And all you need is this fun. And all you need is these funds. Amen. In other words, he's trying to tell you to remove that dissatisfaction from your life, to take away that misery. You just need material things. You just need popularity. You just need to be accepted. And you just need to have this and do this and go here. You just need this friend in your life. Oh, that, and your dissatisfaction will go. But do we not know that that's a lie? When dissatisfaction comes in your life from not being right with God, and I'm glad it's that way, I want to say publicly, I'm glad it's that way. Because if we could get out of fellowship with God, and my friend, our soul did not suffer because of it, we would continue in a downward and a backward direction, and Lord only knows where we would wind up, Brother David, and how far that we would go. And I'm glad the very moment, hallelujah, that we get out of fellowship with Him, dissatisfaction and misery comes into our heart and takes over to where we can't enjoy nothing. Now, if that's not true, then let me throw another scenario at you. If that is not true, then why is it that when you get out of fellowship with God, you become some hateful, irritable, unbearable somebody? Say amen right there. Amen. I don't have to ask you if that's so or not. I can just get your wife or husband to testify. I could just get your children to testify. Amen. They could tell us, my friend, the truth. I know how it is. Amen. You get out of fellowship with God and that sweetness in your spirit leaves. Misery comes in. Dissatisfaction comes in. And as a result, everybody around you, automatically, it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault that I'm cold. It's your fault that I didn't testify in 6 months. It's your fault that I never read my Bible. What motivates you to go to God is what motivated this leper to approach God. And that was dissatisfaction. I'll tell you, every day he woke up, he said, I hate this leprosy. Every day he woke up, he said, I despise this. I hate this. I don't want it. The moment you look at your condition with favor is the moment that you cease to get help. Dissatisfaction will drive you to Jesus. See, the devil thinks that what satisfied you in years past will do it again. He just thinks, now if I can get you off that spiritual level, get you back into that carnal level, get you back in that flesh level where you used to be, that you'll be satisfied and you'll have all that again like you used to have. There's just one thing wrong with that. There's just one person in the way of that, and that's the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. There's another thing wrong with that and in the way of that, and that's the divine nature of God. I can't, listen, brother, we talked about it this morning. We can talk about it this morning. You can go back and do anything that you've ever done. You can go back and do anything anybody else has ever done. Right now. I'm talking about anyone in this building. Are you listening to me? None of us are exempt. I don't understand how a preacher in this area can preach and even pastor a few churches and then all of a sudden turn his license in and said, I'm going to the sodomite left side. How can that happen? I don't know if a person like that's saved. I question it. Are you listening? By the way, that was a factual happening. Are you listening? Hey, I'm talking about, friend, the devil will tell you, I tell you what you need. You're miserable. You're going to church. You're miserable. You're miserable. You don't enjoy preaching. You don't enjoy teaching. You don't enjoy the choir singing. I tell you what you need. You need to get out of church. You need to go get drunk. You need to start smoking dope. He'll tell you that. He'll say, don't you remember back there when you used to have fun doing that? You wasn't miserable then. Remember how you used to have fun doing that? But there's one thing wrong. A child of God can't do that. A child of God can sin, but a child of God has had the joy took out of it. A child of God has had the fun took out of it. And I'm glad, Brother Brian, it's that way. Hallelujah. If it wasn't that way, we'd all be subject to be in the ditch before tomorrow. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, man. Boy, when you get sick, you get dissatisfied with that sickness. What do? Go see a doctor. Boy, that dissatisfaction, brother, can see us to get in our life. You know, our heart is parched. Our heart is cold. Our heart is empty. Our heart is dry. Amen. Listen, that closeness with God is no longer there because of choices that we've made. Not that He pulled apart. Not that He's withdrew Himself. I'll tell you, but when we get dissatisfied, the answer is not running from God. But the answer, my friend, is running to God. Try it. It works. Approaching God. If we're going to get some help from the Lord, we've got to approach Him. We've got to go to Him. What will cause you to do that? What will motivate you to do that? Dissatisfaction. Lord mercy, I'm going to hurry. Hey, man, we ain't going to get nowhere tonight either. Don't look like it. But I'm enjoying it, amen. I've been sloshing around a little bit in some moisture, amen. Hallelujah, thank God. I mentioned a second truth that would motivate you to approach Him. Not only was His dissatisfaction, but His disability. Hey, Mr. Leper, why are you approaching the Lord? He said, I am disabled. What I need, I can't do. Now, listen, I know that there's an element for you and I as a child of God where we can help ourselves. And what you can do for yourself, God will not do for you. Did y'all get that? But I want to tell you, friend, we're disabled many times. There's been times I went to God and said, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what I need to do. I don't know what the answers are. I don't know what I need to do. I felt unable. I felt disabled of what I need to do. But guess what? What I was doing is what I needed to do. And when that was to go to God, amen, there's nothing wrong with going to God and saying, God, I can't do it. I'm unable to do it. The leper would have come to God and said, I'm disabled. I can't cure this. I can't cure this. The need I have, the help I need, it's got to come from You. So what is it that should motivate you and I to go to God when we need help? Our dissatisfaction and our disability. Thirdly, what should motivate us to go to God, approach Him, is not only our dissatisfaction and disability, but also our decline. The course of leprosy is to get worse and worse and worse and worse. I mean, you can go in Leviticus and you can see the law of the leper and all that about leprosy. And it always starts small. It always starts on the inside, but it always surfaces. And leprosy is a type of sin. Amen. Why should we be motivated? Come on now. Listen, if we don't get nothing at this point right here, that'll be sufficient. That'll be good. I want to tell you, friend, listen, what should motivate us to approach God should be our decline. We all know that to be true. The path of sin is never on level ground. Write that in the back of your Bible. The path of sin is never on level ground. It's always a decline. It's always downhill. It always gets deeper and worse. Don't think you can handle it. Don't you think for a second I can handle it, preacher? I can handle it. No, you'll be the first human being that can handle it. I'll tell you that there's been multitudes come and gone since this world's been in existence, and none of them's handled it. Sin has always handled them. Sin's always handled them, and sin will handle you if you don't go to the one that can handle it. You say, I'll just put a handle on it, and I'll just go so far with it, and I'll just do so much, and I'll just stay ankle deep, and I'll let it get no deeper, and I'll not let it get no further. But that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because there is the element, there's an element of that comes with sin that requires something new, something deeper. You know how it is. None of the people, my friend, that's on the streets tonight, full-blown alcoholics, none of them intended to be that. None of them started out being that. They just started out maybe one or two, a little social drink, a little fit-in party, drinking binge. But next thing you know, they're drinking quarts and gallons and their cases. And I'll tell you, friend, they're just full-blown and can't live without it and spend every dime they can rake up and earn and steal, my friend, to pay for their addictions. Why? My friend, the call of sin is to come out deeper and deeper. Deeper and deeper. What should motivate us to go to God is the decline element. When you get out of sorts with God, it'll get worse and worse and get colder and colder. Are you listening? I've been up here, I'm in my 17th year. And I could tell you stories of people that sat on these pews. Brother Trav, some of us know. I could tell you stories of people sat on these pews that once used to sing in a choir, used to stand and testify in services, and used to do other things, but now they're not even in church. Are you listening? I don't rejoice in that. I don't rejoice in that, Brother Island. That grieves me. When I know that at one time they loved me and I personally led them to the Lord, and don't doubt they didn't get saved. Brother, you give that flesh an inch, it'll take you further than you ever thought you'd go. You'll wind up, my friend, in a far country, and you'll turn around one day and wake up in the morning and look at your life and you'll say, "What a mess! How did I get here?" I tell you how you got there. The same way everybody else gets there, they are there. And that is one step at a time. One day at a time. One bad decision at a time. Amen. Sir, so what should motivate us to go to God, approach Him? If I'm going to get some help for myself, I've got to approach Him. And that is not only dissatisfaction, disability, and decline, but I want to mention a fourth thing that should motivate us, and that is destiny. His destiny motivated him to approach God. You know what the destiny? You know what the end result of a leper is? Death. He could have heard preaching till he passed out on this positive attitude and positive thinking and this to get rich and be wealthy, and if you're right with God, everything's hunky-dory. And he could have learned all that till he passed out, but still thriving in him was the law of leprosy that he couldn't control. Are you listening? You know why he went to Jesus? He knew that if he didn't get some help, he was going to die. I know the lepers preach this type of sinner and all that, but I'm preaching it to us. I'm talking about getting help from God ourselves. Amen. Hey man, I'm going to tell you, friend, there's been a time or two that if I didn't get some help from God, I knew it's just a matter of a few days. Oh yes, early in my ministry, there was a time, I'm going to tell you, early in my ministry, there was a time that I thought God was probably going to kill me. Are you listening? And I knew if I didn't get right with Him and get serious with serving God, that the end result, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. I knew that.
Amen! I'm going to tell you, friend, God's people can sin. God's people can sin. But I'm going to tell you what I do not believe, and that is a child of God cannot live in it long. I don't believe a child of God, I'm talking about one truly born of God, can live in sin, my friend, for years and years and years and years and years and enjoy it. I don't believe a word of that. Well, I got to hurry. I can see I'm not going to get done. That's all right. I feel like God's saying something to us. Not only will those things motivate him to approach Christ, but listen, his destiny or his dissatisfaction, disability, decline, destiny. Now I want to mention a fourth truth that motivated him to approach Christ, and that was his desire. Yes, inside him was the leprosy wreaking havoc on his health and his well-being, but also in there was a desire to be clean and to be changed. And Oh man, I'm telling you, here's something deep. If we're going to get help from God, it's going to hinge on one thing. Do we desire it? Do we want it? If we don't want it, it won't happen. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Brother Brian, when we get out of fellowship with God, we get in a valley, a burden, a battle, a situation, we're facing something, going through something, dealing with something, my friend, and listen, and we're just wondering, God, where are you? And we're cold and seem like we're just breathing ink on pages, and you know, it just seems like when we pray, we're just beating our head against the ceiling and seem like nothing's effective, nothing's happening. Amen. I've been there. Amen. And I about guarantee you have as well. I want to tell you, down in my soul, even listen, my worst day being saved. I'm talking about the day in my Christian life when I've been the furthest away from God. Down in my soul was a desire to want to get back. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory! Will He not give you the desires of your heart? Hey. What should motivate you to get to God? What should motivate you to approach Him? Desire. If you want help tonight, you know what Jesus tells us? You want to know what Jesus tells tonight? If you want help tonight, you can get it. The key is the word want. Hey, man. If you want to be spiritual tonight, you can be. You young people, if you want to be on fire for God, you can be. Mamas and daddies, if you want to be on fire for God tonight, you can be. Amen. Amen. It's hinging on desire. Hey, Mr. Leper, why do you want to get to God? What is driving you to the Lord? He said, I have a desire to be clean. Amen. Now here's you something. Listen. Well, this is good right here. It's simple, but it's good. His ultimate desire for getting help from God was this right here. To be clean. That's what he said. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He realized the defilement that was in his life. He knew that. He felt that. He saw that. And he needed help from God. Can I say this right here? This is simple. This is real simple right here. If you want help with God, from God for yourself, it's going to hinge on this right here. Do you want to be clean? I don't know if we'll preach anymore. That right there, buddy, hit home. I never have went to God with reservations. Are you listening? I'm talking about wanting to hold on to some things.
wanting to take little pet things in my life instead of deal with it. Just kind of push it around the side of me and say, God, I want you to help me, please. But what about that behind your back? But what about that over there? What about this over there? What about dealing with this and that? Speechless. But if you're like that leper and say, you know what, Lord? I want to be clean. I want my mind clean. I want my motives clean. I want my mouth clean. Amen. I want everything about me clean. I hate sin. I hate defilement. I want to be holy. The most rejected preaching you can do in the average Baptist church is preaching holiness. Why? I've been preaching almost 28 years. I'd like somebody to tell me why. Why would Jesus loving, born again, children of God, quieten down and tighten up when the message of holiness is being preached? I'll tell you why. There ain't but one explanation. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure it out. Only one explanation. We've got things in our life that we do not want to get rid of. Amen! I'll tell sinners, if you're not willing God to clean you up, you ain't ready to be converted. Amen. I asked one time, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but he revealed to me and to the pastor, I was preaching revival, he told me about a sin that he was, I'm talking about living in open sin, living in sin. And I knew his name then. I called him. I said, are you willing to deal with this? Just me and the pastor and that young man. I said, are you willing to deal with this? I didn't tell him you got to get all this cleaned up before you come to Jesus. By the way, this leper brought and come to Jesus with his leprosy. We're not telling people you got to clean up before you get right. No more than we tell sinners you got to clean up before you can get saved. You don't clean fish till you catch them, amen. That's right. And I told him, you know what, when I asked him, I said, are you willing to deal with this? He said, no. I said, well, you might as well go back to your seat. He said, I wouldn't have done that. I've had preachers to tell me, well, I wouldn't have done that. I said, what would you have done? He said, I'd have led them in a prayer and hope God done something. Why lead somebody in a prayer and hope God does something when they verbally said, I'm not dealing with this sin? That would have made them a deceived, twofold child of hell, and I wasn't about to have their blood on my hands. I just noted that they were not under conviction. They were not ready to be converted, because anybody ready to be converted is somebody that hates sin and wants to be clean. Amen. Hallelujah. Why would anybody want to be saved and keep on living that ungodly lifestyle? What's the purpose? What's the purpose of being saved? And when you have intentions of going on sinning, intentional, living in it, loving it. People that get saved become followers of Jesus. And Jesus does not walk, He does not walk the paths of sin. He walks paths of righteousness. Hey, Mr. Leper, what's motivated you to approach Christ and to seek help from Christ? He said, hey, I'll tell you, my desire, I'm sick of defilement. I'm sick of sin. I'm sick of it. I want to be clean. Oh, I want to tell you, dear friend, my Savior specializes in cleaning people up. Hey, man, glory. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm sorry I've not covered as much ground as you probably thought I would, but I'm probably digging around in a hole that you wished I'd get the shovel out of right now. We just happen to have a shovel. Hey, man. And you know as well as I do, and y'all probably going to hear this in the near future. I'm going to preach on that probably if the Lord leads me to. But to dig a well, the first thing you got to do is start dealing with dirt. And the first, well, I'll just go ahead and mention some of it. Because some of you probably won't be here then, no way. No, I'm just kidding. Not only you got to be willing to deal with dirt, the first dirt you start dealing with is surface dirt. Dirt that everybody can see. And then once you've dealt with that, then you start dealing with that surface that's deep. I mean that dirt that's deep. And usually that dirt that's deep is hard. I'm going to tell you, friend, if we're going to have... Listen, we got revival coming up at the end of this month, starting the last Sunday of November. I want to tell you, if we're going to have revival, we're going to have to deal with dirt. We're going to have a church body that's saying to the Lord, I want to be clean. Clean me up, Lord. Amen. I'm sick of my leprosy. I'm sick of sin. I want to be clean. Wasn't it wonderful the peace and the tranquility and joy and feeling you have in your life and your soul when you're right with God? No, there's nothing like it. Nothing like it. Well, glory. If I knew a song, I'd sing it. Amen. 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 If we're going to get some help from God, we must allow and desire Jesus to deal with our defilements. The first time you tell Jesus, no, don't deal with that, God helping you is over. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll do like the cops do on a crime scene. They'll stretch up out all that tape. What's that tape say, Brother David? Caution, something like, don't cross this or don't go beyond this point. If we're not careful, we'll stretch a bunch of that up in our life and tell Jesus, don't get over here. Lord, I want revival and you're welcome to deal over here and work over here and dig around over here, but stay out of that room, stay out of this area. Don't deal with me about that, don't touch this. As long as we start doing that with the Lord, we're not going to get any help. Do you think that leper came to Jesus and said, Jesus, I really do want to be clean, but leave some of that leprosy over here in this right hand. Jesus, I want you to clean me up with leprosy. I really don't want to die, but I just really don't want to get rid of all of it. You said, preacher, that's stupid. That's foolishness. So it is to go to the altar or get in the closet to pray and say, Jesus, I want you to help me, but don't touch this. And Lord, don't ask me to quit that. And Lord, don't ask me to give this up. I tell you when we're going to get some help. I guarantee it's not written here, but that leper came. And when he said, Lord, I will, that if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I believe when he said, thou canst make me clean, he meant from head to toe, inside and out, every fact and every fiber and every aspect of my life. He said, I want all of the leprosy gone. Well, his ultimate desire wasn't to be rich, royal, or recognized, but to be released from the reigning rottenness of leprosy. His desire was not to be comforted, cool, but rather to be clean. And I want to deal with this and I'm closing last. I'm still talking about the motivations of approach. Amen. Not only the dissatisfaction, disability, decline, destiny, desire, but here's another one that will drive you to Jesus, and I'm through. Dependence. When the leper came to God to get some help for himself, it's clear in the text that he ultimately depended on God to help him. In other words, I believe he would almost have this attitude, God, and by the way, Jesus is God. His attitude was probably like this. God, if you don't help me, there's no help for me. And I'm a goner. Oh, dependence. 100% depending on
Him to help you. Well, I'm glad we can depend on Him. In fact, I'm just going to tell you this. We don't have no options. Hey, Mr. Leper, what options do you have? Hey, Mr. Leper, what options do you have? I don't have any. My only hope is that God helps me. Are you listening? God's wanting to help us. And I'm glad to stand and proclaim today that our God, Sister Michelle, is a God that helps us. I'm telling you, when the devil slips up on your shoulder and he starts whispering all these deceptive lies in your ear, just stick in his eyeball the truth that the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, I feel good about it, don't you? I don't feel too much good about my helping him. If that's the case, he's hurting. But he's helping me. And as I said this morning, I would not be here today if it hadn't have been for the momentous times, if I said that right, that he helped me. I mean, he's always helped me. But I mean, there's times that he stepped in. And I mean, helped me. Amen. Hallelujah. And let me say this. When I came to Him as a sinner, you say, preacher, look to me like as nasty as a leper is. I mean, they had their own colonies. They were exiled from society because they were nasty and they stunk. And they were highly contagious and just a nuisance. In fact, when somebody would come around, they'd have to cover their mouth and cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. That is as if to say, stay away from me. Don't get near me because what I've got will get on you. But he brought all of that leprosy and approached Jesus with it. Hey, man, I don't know if you're getting that or not. You can bring your condition to the Lord as you are. So I'm cleaning up. I'm getting all everything cleaned up so I can go to God. Why not go to God and then get cleaned up? He won't turn you away. If anybody would have been resisted, rejected, it would have been a nasty old stinking leper. But Jesus didn't hesitate. The Bible said to touch Him. And to talk to Him. And then let me close with this. Can I close with this? I know we've had about 5 closings already. This is something that interests me. I wish I had time to preach this right here. You'll just have to study it. Because this same story, Brother McCarricker, is used not only in Matthew, but also in Mark and also in Luke. And Jesus told him, all right, I've helped you. Don't tell it. I've helped you, but don't tell it. He told him that. Don't tell it. And there was a reason for that, but he said, don't tell it. And you know what? Listen, you know what happened? I mean, that's what it says right there. My eyes are not bad. My arm's just getting longer. I'm going to have to break out the glasses. I can't help how it looks. Amen. But he told him there, he said, see that thou tell no man. Listen to Mark's account. Told him. He told him here, he said, in verse 44, and saith unto the man, see, thou say nothing to any man. But go thy way and show thyself the priest and offer for the cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out
and began to publish it much. That tickles me to death. He published it much, and he began to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. Everywhere Jesus moved, every time he turned around, everybody was saying, "That's him! That's him! Who told you?" That leper. Here's the principle. God helps you. You have to tell it.
Amen.
I'm talking about, here's a man God said, don't tell it, and he couldn't help it. He may have intended not to tell it, to be obedient to what the Lord said, but every time he opened his mouth, oh, God help me. I was a leper. I mean, every time he opened his mouth, here it comes. God help me. Oops. Oops. I'll have to ask the Lord, forgive me for telling everybody I see about him. I'll have to ask the Lord. Every time he opened his mouth, here it comes. God's good. As a leper with no hope, needing help. God help me. God helps you, you'll have to tell it. Why is people not telling? Every service, nearly every service ought to have somebody in it somewhere, testimony, God help me. And if God helps you, I think he deserves for it to be told. Amen. Let's all stand.